Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in zero.
Wouldn't be a little weird. Strange Brew is no zero. No. They're a hero.
Brusolo? Brew zero.
Brew zero?
Brew zero.
Eh.
Eh, no. No. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. And don't forget, when you support Strange Brew Coffee House, you support the Bulldog Initiative. The same way you do with our good friends over at Pip Printing and Signs. The slogan is reliable service for every business need. What that means is if you need a way to get people in through your front door, if you need to market your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution for you. 30 years of business owned and operated by Bulldogs. And most importantly for us, if you call them, you tell them you want to send your business to Pip Printing, you told them you heard about it here on Thunder and Lightning, you're going to get they're going to send a 10% of your sale to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. That's money you're already spending that can be going to Mississippi State Athletics. That's a really great deal. Shows you how impactful that's going to be over the years. Call my friend Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 and get up with him. Let him know you heard about it all here on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, maroon and white, they've got it at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend for Mississippi State baseball, make sure a trip to Restaurant Tyler is on your to-do list. Grab a great lunch there. Grab a great dinner, maybe Saturday night after the game, or before you head to the ballpark on Sunday, you can go for Sunday brunch. It's always a good time, every time, at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout central Mississippi, here to serve you. If you're looking for a new bank, if you're looking for a bank that gives you everything that those big corporate banks gives you, except for the stuff that you don't want, you want great customer service, I wouldn't go to a big corporate bank. I would go to a small community bank. But if you want a lot of financial flexibility, a lot of different services, maybe you think, okay, well, I do need that corporate bank. Not so. Priority One Bank can do that for you and still give you that hometown feel. I like to do business with the people I know. I think you do too. If you live in central Mississippi, there's a location near you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. This cough is starting to bother me, my friend.
Uh-oh. You're a lingering cough guy too.
I think there are two things about me that if you did not know me, you would assume, just from watching me, my mannerisms, and how I act, you would think I'm a chain smoker, and I have sinus issues all the time. You would think I am one of the biggest cocaine addicts you've ever met. I am constantly, like, rubbing my nose.
Yeah.
I don't do either of those things, though.
I kind of do that same thing with my nose. Like, my nose itches a lot. Neither Brian or I are cocaine guys.
No.
I can assure you.
No.
I don't even know if I'm
from Winston County. You'd be a meth guy, if anything.
No. That's Webster and Choctaw County where I've also lived. I have seen cocaine once. I'm gonna share stories here. Opening up front.
All right.
I have seen it one time. It was in Omaha. Somebody offered it to me. randomly, it could have been a cop, I don't know, but I was raised the right way. Juju raised me the right way and Big Daddy. And I told him I don't want any part of that. Moved on. That's the only time I've ever seen it. And it could have been sugar. I don't know. But I assure you, I'm clean.
I mean, I didn't doubt it. I wasn't worried about you.
Shut up, Brian. I'm clean.
Shut up. All right. Well, what a great start to the show. I didn't know we were going to do a Miami Vice moment here to get things started. I would be Tubbs.
You're Tubbs.
Because I'm
Tubbs McGee.
You get because I'm fat. No, Tubbs. Tubbs yeah. from Miami Vice. Crockett and Tubbs.
Yeah, Tubbs McGee.
His name was not Tubbs McGee.
I want it to be Tubbs McGee.
Tubbs was his last name. Well, Sonny McGee Crockett. Tubbs. And what was Tubbs' first name? I don't remember. Now I got to know.
I don't remember either. I never watched Miami Vice.
Oh, dude. What a groundbreaking television show. Great stuff. All right. We got some basketball to talk. Mississippi State piled up some postseason awards. Today, we'll do that a little later in the show. But we're going to start with football, and we're going to continue our spring positional breakdowns with the running back position. And, Robbie, I know you just wrote about this last week, and this is a group. I mean, you think about Mississippi State, right, through the years. And you're going back to, you know, Michael Davis and then to Kiefer McGee and DeCenzo Miller and J.J. Johnson. And I mean, the list goes on. Norwood, Dixon, Ballard. Aris Williams, Kyle, great running backs here at Mississippi State. There's not a guy on this roster as it sits right now that I look at and I say, that's the next great Mississippi State running back. I mean, this is for all the talk we give about the defense and some of the questions we have there. This is easily for offense where I have the most questions going into the season.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Not like tight end or better than one of the offensive line spots?
When we talk about tight ends, I have questions, but like they're just different. Because yeah. I think you can be weak at tight end.
It's not as pressing a position as running back.
Right. If your tight ends aren't great, you can still be great offensively. But yeah. This offense especially, you know, and we've talked about it, it gets this misnomer of it's this high-flying, pass-it-everywhere offense. It's at its heart, it's a running offense. And you've got to be good at running back to be successful. And so, you know, between Pittman, Lee, Xavier Gayton, who am I leaving out?
Johnny Daniels.
I mean, one of those guys is going – I don't know if there's a – is there a Quinshon Judkins-type running back? And I don't mean just – I mean, that guy's an elite talent. But is there a lead back in here that's going to be most of the carries? Or are they going to look at it the way that Lebby ran things at Ole Miss the first couple years, when those 2 years that he was there, and they had a committee. They had Henry Parrish and Snoop Connor and Jerrion Ealy. I think it lends itself more to that, Robbie, but I don't know that State's got guys of that talent level in this room.
I think it's going to be a surprising group. I just don't think there's a whole lot of proven commodities there. You know, you didn't really see hardly anything from Kevon Lee, although he had a really – solid career at Penn State. Jeffrey Pittman had some good moments last year.
Yeah.
And I do think that he could do some things for you. I think the wild card here and the guy that you need to be really good is Johnny Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
He was the number one back in JUCO, a guy that really kind of emerged late. I think he could be the guy. It might take him a little bit to get up to speed. And Pittman, I would probably give the edge to early in spring. It would not shock me if Johnny Daniels kind of emerges late spring, early fall, and everybody's saying that's the lead back. I think he can be really good. And he's kind of more of the all-purpose guy in the group. He's not a guy that's going to be just ground and pound type in between the tackles. He's not a guy that's going to be just the pure slasher, Seth Davis type running back. I think he's got a little bit of everything in him. He's probably your best all-around back that you have in the group. And then we don't really know about Xavier Gayton yet and what kind of impact he's going to make year one. It appears he's going to be a running back. It was assumed early that he was going to move to safety.
Agreed.
But
yeah.
I think over time, we saw that he's got a lot of potential there at running back. we're as high on him as any other network in the entire world right now. Named him a 4-star. He's actually the highest rated player in the entire class. He got elevated into the top 300 for us at the end of the year. Charles Power is really, really high on him. So, you know, it looks like he's going to stay at running back on the next level. Won't be here till the summer. That kind of hurts his chances in year one. So I'm not going to expect a whole lot out of him right away. I think Johnny Daniels is probably the guy I'm going to, you know, hitch my wagon to as a guy that could really make an impact in year one for Mississippi State and do some good things. I think he's going to be a good one.
The guy that I would be the most interested in this group is Seth Davis. That's a guy in this offense I would love to see him, but he is right. Not going to be available this spring and may not be available this season. And I think, you know, between Lee, Pittman, and Daniels, I feel like, you know, you got some similarities, right? They're kind of the same back in terms of their body size and what they bring to the offense. Davis was unique in what he could have brought to this offense. So that's a big loss for Mississippi State. Any chance that they look into the portal and maybe try to find another running back, a more proven guy? That's the one thing that this group doesn't have is just a proven ball carrier, somebody you know you can rely on throughout the season.
I still think that that's a possibility. I haven't met what's the running back's coach named? Anthony Tucker?
Mm-hmm.
Is that his name? Okay. I haven't met him yet. I haven't spoken to him. We haven't talked much to Jeff Lebby since the winter. So I don't really know what their plans are, but it just makes sense to go get another guy like that. And I don't know if that's their plan or not, but you would think that it is. After you lost Woody Marks and you lost Simeon Price and you now lost Seth Davis possibly for the year because of his injury, it does feel like you need another guy there to kind of bridge the gap for you a little bit. And I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but I personally would.
This offense, you know – like I said, I mentioned what it did at Ole Miss. And like I said, people, when they think about this offense and they think about what they were able to do, people always just assume that, you know, it was Corral running throwing the ball up and down the field. And, you know, in 2020, they led the SEC in rushing as a group. Ely rushed for 745 yards. Snoop Connor rushed for another 400. Henry Parrish rushed for, you know, just over 260 yards, but he only had 56 carries. He averaged, almost 5 yards per carry. As a team, they averaged over 5 yards per carry, or just right at it. And that's, of course, with Corral giving you another 500 yards rushing. The next year, they were even better on the ground. Ely, again, 768 yards rushing. Connor now up to 647, 553 for Parrish. They averaged 218 yards per game on the ground, 4.8 yards per carry. And Connor was a double-digit touchdown guy, as was Corral. And then Ely and Parrish combined for another 8 touchdowns. This offense can get it done on the ground every week. And I think the committee approach, like I said, is probably the best one because you just don't have a superstar in this group. If they have a superstar, it's going to be somebody we're not expecting right now. It's going to be that Johnny Daniels comes in here and has, I mean, basically like a J.J. Johnson kind of impact, you know, to come in from junior college and be that stud, you know, every down running back from day one. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not. The other thing that, you know, with this offense is obviously the passing component of it. Those three guys I mentioned, Ely, Connor, and Parrish in Lebby's last year at Ole Miss, combined for nearly 70 catches. So, if anything, this group, you know, it's kind of funny. They don't have the pass catching experience that you had just 2 years ago when you had Dylan Johnson and Jaquavius Marks. You're like, well, those guys would be great at catching passes. You don't really have that now. So that's another component to watch is, are these guys going to be able to do some things in the passing game as well? I think Pittman has shown a little bit of that.
Yeah, he had the game winning touchdown against Arizona. I think that was a pass.
It was.
It's funny you mentioned that about the running game, because that was one of the things I was watching Lebby's interview with Andy Staples.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he said in there, and I still haven't heard your interview with him. Wow. You might have mentioned it in there too. It's on my list. I'm working my way through.
Oh man, I feel.
I have like 50 podcasts to get through.
That's fine. It's fine.
But he mentioned in there, and he might have mentioned with you too. The offense is still run. It's still powered by the run game.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be a very established running game. Mm-hmm. They like to throw the ball deep. They like to throw it around. But if you look at the numbers and what he did at Ole Miss and what he did at Oklahoma, they still run the football extremely well. And it's kind of predicated on how they spread the ball out, and teams are expecting to, you know, receive some deep shots down the field. There's so much room and so much space to run. It just makes your running game that much more dangerous. And I think that's going to bring out the best of every single one of these guys, because you're going to see a lot of one-on-ones in space. That's why I think Seth Davis would be an absolute monster in this offense, because he's not going to be running in between the tackles so much and getting, you know, eaten up by defensive linemen or anything like that. He's going to be in space and have an opportunity to shake defenders and beat a guy to the edge or something like that. That's what I think is going to be beneficial for all these guys. And it's going to be interesting. And like you said, it's just another receiver in this offense as well, whether it be a swing pass or whatever they do with the running backs. These guys are going to be used in the passing game as well. So I think it's a very important position. And that's why I wonder if they're going to go out and try to get one more guy just to try to add another, you know, bullet to your gun.
I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree that, you know, we saw today that Mississippi State, or there was an announcement on Twitter that from an offensive lineman from SMU will be visiting here in a couple weeks. So you're starting to see some of the second round of the portal guys make some decisions about where they want to visit. I will be surprised if there's not at least one running back brought in just to see, you know, if there's a fit. And just give yourself
very interesting that they're bringing in another offensive lineman.
I'll tell you why it's not, because you can't ever have too many of them. You just cannot have too many of them.
That's true, but I think about the number situation for Mississippi State, which maybe they're losing a lot more than we expect. But from a sheer numbers perspective, I don't know how it all works. Like they still need to get defensive backs. I feel like they need to possibly get another linebacker. Still, maybe need a running back. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest. At this point, I think we're going to see a lot of action in the portal coming out of Mississippi State by the end of the spring. I expect maybe 10, 12 guys to just – guys that they just don't feel complete, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, some of your linemen, some of your you still are at a point where you've got a lot of receivers. You just got a lot of them, especially with all the freshmen you're bringing in. So maybe some of your – I mean, and I won't be surprised if there's some names that you're like – and I think I'm just speculating here, but there's going to be a couple of names where you're like, wow, that guy's leaving. Can't believe it. But I think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, that very well could be. And maybe they know some offensive linemen are heading out and they need those numbers. I don't know.
Yeah. Real quick, looking at Oklahoma the past couple of seasons, again, under Jeff Lebby as the offensive coordinator, they had a big-time running back his first year there, Eric Gray. You might remember him. He was recruited by Mississippi State, then he went to Tennessee. And then transferred to Oklahoma. He rushed for 1,300 yards in his 1 year at Oklahoma, and then 519 from Javonte Barnes, another 227 from Marcus Major. Last year, a little bit more of the committee approach again. Gavin Sawchuk was our leading rusher, 744 yards. Tawie Walker, 513, 308 from Marcus Major. Barnes down to 140. Nobody had more than 120 carries, though. So, I mean, you're talking about 10 carry, basically just shy of 10 carries a game is what they're looking at. So I the running back room, like I said, I'm very interested to see how it all pans out, because again, I just, you know, at receiver, I feel like you've got some known commodities, right? I feel like you have an idea with some of those guys. The tight end room, you know, we haven't talked a whole lot about Sadu Traore. But, I mean, that's a known commodity. He's already performed at a big-time level. Chapin is a little bit of a known commodity, right? You know, Pittman is the most known guy here. Maybe Kevon Lee, he had a couple good years at Penn State, but he didn't show you anything last year at Mississippi State. Now, I'm not going to hold too much of that against him because of how bad that team was offensively, but I'm interested to see how this.
Yeah, it's really hard to evaluate anybody on that last year because they all were rough.
Yeah.
And I just chalk it up to the scheme at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to note.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Absolutely should do that. So, all right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. We want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. And if you are cooking out this weekend or any weekend, if you're firing up the grill, nothing's going to beat the sizzle of beef. You have never been unhappy when you've showed up at somebody's house and like, yeah, I'm cooking some steaks. You know, you get invited to a cookout and, hey, show up. Hey, what are we having? Oh, I got some steaks on the grill. I mean, are you mad? No, you are not mad. You're quite the opposite. You're quite happy. And that's because everybody loves getting a steak hot off the grill, sizzling, ready to go. This weekend or any weekend you're grilling, make sure that beef is on the menu. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I talked to our friends over at Two Brothers earlier today, and I was like, did you listen to the show? Then they were like, yes. Like they had a lot of fun with my menu choices. I was like, I was just amazed at how much food I could get for $100 at Two Brothers.
It really was, and there's no way. I know you like to eat, there's no way you could eat all that.
I'll get a bite of everything.
It would be like surveying. Like you would.
Yeah, it'd be really like bad at the end of it. I'd be like, I can't eat.
We're wasting food.
I would be wasting food. Yeah. I don't want to.
But again, that place is extremely affordable. Yeah. I mean, and they have found it. They have found the secret.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great food. It's affordable. It's a great atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most perfect place right in the center of
Starville. I've never eaten a dessert there, too. Next time we go, I may need to get a dessert. I've never had dessert there.
I want to say I had the bread pudding one time.
I need to try.
We're going to have to get it next. We'll get it next time.
I guess we're going to have to go to Two Brothers sometime.
Darn it.
Oh, no. Well, we'll get there soon enough. And when we do, we'll enjoy some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for how long? 49 years. 49 years, Robbie. That's a long, long. That's older than I am. Imagine being 49 years old. Eesh.
Just barely.
Yeah, but 48. Still got it. Never
You're lost. You're in your prime.
I'm in my prime. Yes, that is correct. So is Advantage Business Systems. They are still the state's top place to get business technology because they're going to back up their sales with service after the sale. That's all that matters. Anybody can sell you a copier. Anybody can sell you a printer. It's when something goes wrong, what are they doing then? That's where the Advantage Business Systems difference is noticeable. Give them a call at 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Thunder 15 is the code for Maroon & Co. You can get 15% off any item, regular price. Exclusions do apply. And what a great selection they have there at Maroon & Co. here in Starkville. A very unique look at logo wear, stuff you can't find anywhere else. You know, a lot of places they have sort of the cookie cutter look. Everybody's got the same two or three polos. Not at Maroon & Co. They've got stuff you cannot find anywhere else. They're also your exclusive provider for Bulldog Initiative logo wear. So if you want to wear the polos and the hoodies that the coaches are wearing, you can only get them at Maroon & Co. Before you head to Duty Noble this weekend, make sure you're stopping at Maroon & Co. Good day for the Mississippi State basketball teams in terms of awards. They piled in today for both men and women. For the women, Jessica Carter named to the named as the Gillum Trophy winner. Josh Hubbard, the true freshman, named to the as the Howell Trophy winner. And then Hubbard also named second team All-SEC. Tolu Smith, first team All-SEC. And Cam Matthews, all defensive team. Any surprises in there for you?
And all of that or just the All-SEC thing?
All of it.
Was a little surprised with Jessica Carter.
Okay.
And not so much at what she did or didn't do as it was – I thought Marquisha Davis had taken over that spot.
Mm-hmm.
I actually voted for Marquisha Davis. She scored 31, 30-something the other day against Florida, had 20-something again against LSU. She's been really good all year long. You know, Ole Miss has had the better season. I actually voted in the semifinal – for the finalist, I voted for Dracayla Jordan. And I thought Dracayla Jordan was right there with Marquisha Davis for the best player in the state. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit of a surprise. Wasn't surprised by Josh Hubbard winning it with the Howell Trophy. What he did closing out – and Matthew Morrell I thought was really good this year across the board all season long. But what Josh Hubbard did in the back half here was incredible. Mm-hmm. For a true freshman to score 20-plus in five straight games, I think, five or more three-pointers in five straight games, he earned it as a true freshman. And doesn't happen often for a true freshman to come in here and be the best player in the state of Mississippi, but we did see it with Quinshon Judkins, Jake Mangum did it, Josh Hubbard now has done it. Well-deserved for him. And I'm happy for Jess, too, because she's had such a tumultuous 6 years. I mean, think about all the highs and lows that she's gone through as a player, on teams, personally. She's had some hardships that she's fought through. I'm happy for her. I'm really excited that she was able to go out like this. And hopefully I think she's going to be drafted in the WNBA draft, and hopefully she has a great, prosperous career and does really well there. So shout out to those guys. Brandon Langlois mentioned that let me get this up. I think they've won 7 out of the last 10 Gillum trophies, and 6 of the last 7 Howell trophies have gone to Mississippi State players. I mean, this has been – Mississippi State has been the most consistent basketball program in the state for a long time.
No question.
If you think about it.
The thing that – one thing that surprised me, and this goes back a couple of weeks, was, you know, when they announced the finalists, it was Hubbard, Matthew Morrell, and Austin Crowley from Southern Miss. And I vote – my three finalists were Tolu, Hubbard, and Morrell. Not necessarily in that order, I don't think. I think I had Hubbard first, but whatever. I was really surprised Tolu didn't make the finalists. I thought you'd have two Bulldogs and a Rebel. And then you see today, Tolu first team all SEC, kind of proves my point there a little bit. I thought Tolu Smith deserved to be on that finalist list. Wouldn't have been totally surprised if he won it. But Hubbard, the way he's finished out the season, you know, I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, Morrell might have been slightly ahead of him. But yeah. Hubbard finished with such a strong, strong streak here that you had no choice by the end but to vote for him.
And let's be honest, too, I think that voters tend to swing towards the teams that are having the more successful season.
No doubt.
I think we've seen that with the Connerly and the Boo Ferret. I mean, that's just been how it's been, and right or wrong. But I will say, too, more often than not, the team that is having the more successful season is because, in large part, that player. So, I mean, it usually works hand in hand, but I think that this is a good tiebreaker is which team has kind of had the better season.
Yeah.
And Mississippi State had the better season than Ole Miss. Even though Ole Miss has, I think, one more win. Mm-hmm. State's had the better season when you look at it as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, curious about the winners of this award. So, as you mentioned, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, 7 of the last 8 have been from Mississippi State. Now, Ole Miss had a run there of 4 straight. Marshall Henderson, Jarvis Summers, Stephon Moody wins it back-to-back. Sebastian Saiz winning it over Q was a choice. We'll just go with that. But then you have Q back-to-back.
Sebastian Saiz.
I know, right? You have Q back-to-back, then Reggie Perry. Devontae Shuler is the one Ole Miss guy. And honestly, that year I thought that DJ Stewart could have won it. And then Molinar, Tolu last year, and now, as you mentioned, Josh Hubbard. And now Hubbard, you know, it looks like he's going to be like on a Mangum kind of run here. He might win a couple of these awards over the next few years because I think that's the kind of career he's going to end up having.
Ole Miss, like almost all those winners you named was mm-hmm. like the same player.
Yeah.
They might have been different personalities, like Marshall Henderson. Marshall Henderson, Jarvis Summers,
and Moody.
Stephon Moody were all like Josh Hubbard types.
Shooters, yeah.
Like if Josh Hubbard was playing for Ole Miss, he would be in that same grouping He would be the Andy Kennedy prototype guard.
Yeah.
The guy that's just could come in. He was going to shoot 30 shots in a game, and he could go 15 of 30 one night. I mean, you don't know. But that's kind of the – like, I see a lot of, like, Stephon Moody in Josh Hubbard's game. So, I mean, that would have been another one there.
That's a very good comparison, a guy who, you know, not a big guy, not a guy who's going to dominate you physically, but just makes shots and isn't afraid to take shots either. Here we go.
Who was the other guy that was kind of like that? Brian Tyree.
Brian Tyree, yeah. All right, here we go. Trivia time.
Okay.
Only two players outside of Mississippi State and Ole Miss have won this trophy. Name either one of them.
For the Howell?
Yeah.
Oh. Somebody from Jackson State?
Wrong. Nope.
Delta State?
Delta State and Southern Mississippi are the two.
I have no clue.
So from Delta State, 2005, 2006, Jasper Johnson won it.
Oh, I remember Jasper Johnson.
The other two finalists. Remember Trey Johnson at Jackson State? That guy
yes.
was great.
That's who I thought was going to – because they played
– Oh, I'm wrong. Yeah, Jackson State did win it. You're right.
It was Trey Johnson.
Trey Johnson won it the next year. He won it the next year.
They played Florida in the first round, didn't they, when Florida won the national championship?
Gave them trouble, yeah.
Dude, that team was good. Trey Johnson played for the Lakers at one point.
Mm-hmm. So Jackson Johnson, Trey Johnson, and then in 2010-11, Gary Flowers won it from USM. I have no memory of Gary Flowers.
That's vaguely familiar, but 2010 and 11?
Yeah. So the other two finalists.
I think his state had.
The other two finalists were D-Boss and Chris Warren.
What? So, neither one of those guys could win?
No.
That's another point guard for Ole Miss that's in similar vein there. Chris Warren was really good.
Well, they had Tariqa White on that team, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that guy could shoot. Yeah.
Andy Kennedy had better rosters than people gave him credit for.
Yeah, he did. Over on the Gillum Trophy side, this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th time Mississippi State has won the award since 2007 when it started. It goes 9 for Mississippi State, 3 for Ole Miss. This breaks a 3-year winning streak for the Rebels. 1 from Southern and 3 from Delta State. Of course, Victoria Vivians has 4 of these. She won it 4 years she was at Mississippi State, along with Tierra McCowan, Rakia Jackson, Martha Allwall, and then 2 for – do you know who the other one is? She won 2. Do you know who it is?
Before Martha?
Before Martha, yeah. 2008, 9, and then 9-10.
Armani Lamont, what's her name?
Armani Edwards?
No. Lamanu?
From Mississippi State?
Yeah.
No.
Or Makongo?
No. Alexis Rack.
Alexis Rack. I can't believe I forgot her.
Say you come
She was on. Like, God. Well, she was like a Josh Hubbard.
Yeah.
And I mean, she would just come out there and like, she might shoot your eyeballs out one night.
Yeah.
She led them to the Sweet 16 one year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's correct, yeah.
And beat Ohio State.
So, yeah. So, Jessica Carter.
On that team was Chanel Makongo and Armani Lamanu, I think was her name. And that was a really good team.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Sharon Fanning's last really good team.
That was the Ohio State game where they played in Columbus and they –
They played them 2 years in a row.
Weird, yeah.
They played there 2 years in a row, and the second year they beat them, and they lost to Florida State. If they would have beaten Florida State, they would have had played UConn, and they would have gotten beat by 50. So,
yeah, but still, yeah.
It went to Sweet 16.
There you go. So, anything else going on in the world today? I guess not.
The free agency right now is on fire.
I know. I love it.
Apparently, Saquon Barkley is going to the Eagles.
How you feeling over there?
I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. I would have much rather had I think I would have much rather had Kirk Cousins than Russell Wilson.
Kirk Cousins coming to see me. He's in Atlanta. He's going to be – we'll see him twice a year.
Saquon Barkley is apparently going to the Eagles.
That's a big boost for the Eagles. Adding Saquon Barkley to that team. Got to figure they're going to be pretty good next year. So we'll see.
And then Josh Jacobs to the Packers.
Packers, yeah.
Tony Pollard to the Titans.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow.
Yes.
So Derrick Henry going to Dallas, right?
They'll just trade him out, unofficially trade.
Derrick Henry in the same backfield? Loaded up.
Man, Saquon to the Eagles.
That's tough. Eagles going to be one of the favorites next year, no question.
Well, they have a really good – I mean, the roster has not been an issue for them.
Yeah, no, they're good. They're good.
Before we go, my dad – you know, I mentioned my dad yesterday, Big Daddy. He is exploding out there in the world of Mississippi State fandom.
Mm-hmm.
People are stopping him every day. I swear, he calls me. And, you know, I told you he exaggerates a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I had a source confirm to me that he actually did have like four or five people come up to him at Strange Brew. The source was the source had a source that was at Strange Brew and that witnessed this.
Uh-huh.
So he actually was stopped by like four or five people at Strange Brew that recognized him as Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he talked to somebody on the phone on Monday that found out that he was indeed the Big Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
He is on cloud nine at this point. I mean, you cannot bring him down.
So good.
His head is twice the size of what it was. You couldn't fit it in a 5-gallon bucket.
I love to hear this. So, real quick before we get out of here, speaking of the Eagles, though, we didn't talk about Fletcher Cox yesterday, I don't think.
We didn't. No.
All in a career Hall of Famer?
I think he is.
I think so. May not be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he'll get in.
Well, let's look at it just a second. Okay, so he has been All-Pro He's been All-Pro four times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever look at the All-Pro list, there's only like two or three defensive tackles on the list.
Mm-hmm.
So that means he's been considered four times one of the top four defensive tackles in the league.
Right.
He has been a Pro Bowler six times.
Yeah.
And he was voted to the NFL all decade team from 2010 to 2020.
Yeah.
So he is one of the best defensive linemen for an entire decade in
the Super Bowl helps him a lot too.
Super Bowl, that is always a big piece. I mean,
I think he's in. I think he's going to be in. So
if Dan Marino had a Super Bowl, we would be talking about him as one of the top three greatest quarterbacks ever.
Yeah, no question. No question.
I mean, look at the stats. So 519 tackles for defensive tackle, mm-hmm. 70 sacks.
Yeah. I saw a great clip from the New Heights podcast with the Kelce brothers, and Jason Kelce was basically like, I couldn't block him.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't block him. This guy's supposed to be the best center in the league. Couldn't block him one-on-one.
It's really amazing to me that in – less than 10 years, Mississippi State had three generational defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher Cox, Chris Jones, and Jeffrey Simmons.
I mean, and Montez Sweat led the league in sacks last year. Let's not.
And then Montez Sweat, I mean, he's very close.
The most underrated guy is in that group is Denico Autry. He's still a decade in, still producing.
He's been good, man. He has been really good. That's going to be a guy that I don't think he'll ever be like a Hall of Famer, but it'll be a guy that people talk about over time, like making comps to and things like that.
We had some fun in the press box on Sunday talking about Fletcher Cox because some of our newer guys, we were up there with Steph and with Alex Murphy from the commercial dispatch, and explaining to them like, yeah, when he was in high school, Fletcher Cox was this 225-pound defensive end. You know, by the time he's done with his first year at Mississippi State, he was this monster 290-pound defensive tackle. And it's like, guy's just a freak athlete and one of Mississippi's greatest players. So congrats to Fletcher Cox, a fantastic career. And hopefully we'll see him around Starkville a little bit more in the coming years as part of this football program's great history. Tomorrow's program is The Rumbling. So get the questions in to us and we will be happy to answer them. We'll talk about whatever we want. We're going to start picking up the pace on these. I was thinking about it today, Robbie. I was like, if I do one SEC preview a week, it's going to be like June. You know, 15 of them. I can't. That's not spring anymore. At that point, we're into the summer. So let's knock a couple out this week. We'll get Arkansas and Auburn out of the way this week. And those interviews will be later, probably like Wednesday or Thursday.
Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Adair. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.